I'd like to read three short scriptures. The first in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, Luke 19 and verse 9. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation is come to this house, inasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Second scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that hears my word and believes him that has sent me has life eternal, and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." And the last passage again in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10 and verse 42, the last verse of the chapter. "And Mary has chosen the good part, the which shall not be taken from her." Well, dear hearer, I don't know whether you are a believer or an unbeliever, but I like to point that the three scriptures I read refer to the Lord Jesus speaking himself to someone who was near to him. The Lord Jesus wasn't on this earth in order to accomplish God's will and to provide us with means of salvation in order to be delivered from our sin and from our sins. He bore our sins on the cross. He died for us. And before doing all that, he has walked down here in power, in complete obedience to his Father, to his God, in order to show the grace of God and to show the way of salvation and to take upon himself all that was upon us in condemnation. But in his grace, he communicated to those who were around him. So in the first scripture we read, he was speaking to a man who had desired to see him, and the Lord Jesus had brought salvation to his house. But I wanted to point out to the expression that the Lord uses, that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, dear friend, the Lord Jesus has come to seek for you. The Lord Jesus has come to seek for me. Yes, indeed, because we are lost sinners. You could say, "Oh well, why am I lost?" Well, if you honestly think deeply in your mind and your heart, you'll find that very often we are at a dead end in our lives, because we realize that for all the efforts we make, we are not able to do everything according to God's will. That is what the Lord Jesus did, but it is not possible for me, a poor sinner. And so I am lost as to the way in which God would like me to be, because I am not able to take that way. I needed a Savior. I needed the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus, in his grace, has come not only to save me, but to seek for me. Do you realize you are sought for by the Lord? Do you realize you are the object of the interest of our Lord? And he is seeking for you because he wants to save you. Oh, dear friend, just put your trust into the Lord as your Savior. Don't think about yourself and your own abilities your own capacity to do something. We can't do anything for ourselves apart from our Lord, because He has come to seek us, and in order that He may save us from a life of sin, save us from condemnation, eternal condemnation, from being put away from the presence of our God forever. This is all that the Lord has done. And this man here in Luke 19, he had really received this blessing, this salvation. And this man Zacchaeus had found in the Lord the person, the blessed person that had saved him and had brought salvation to him and to his house. Well, let us really trust in our Lord. He has done this for us. And this is a message that the Lord gave to Zacchaeus and to all those who were around him at that time. He said that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Do you realize God's grace in sending His Son, His own Son, here in order to do all this? Oh, blessed action, blessed grace of God, who has performed this in order that we might really be saved and be put into His presence in trust and in hope. Now, if we go to the second passage in John 5, we find that it's the Lord speaking again. You can find that clearly in the previous verses. And in this verse, the Lord says that he that hears my word and believes him that has sent me. So, as the Lord has done these two actions that we saw in Luke 19, He came to seek and to save. Now He points out these two actions here. He that hears my word and believes Him. Now, this puts the responsibility on us. Do we hear the Lord's word? It's clear from the scripture, fully witnessed and testified, that the Lord Jesus spoke to mankind while He was here. And these two instances, rather these three instances in the passages we read, show that the Lord Jesus has spoken. And what He says is for you, my dear friend. If you are a believer, you will rejoice in thinking of the Lord's voice addressed to you and His message addressed to you. If you are an unbeliever, you can now have the opportunity to be attentive to His speaking, to hear His word. Or you could say, how can I hear Him? He is not here. Well, my dear friend, Scripture has been registered and written for our benefit. Those who wrote these Gospels were present. They knew, they heard, they understood. The blessed Apostle John says in his epistles, the things that we have heard, that our hands have handled, and we have contemplated, is something that he really, that really got through him. And this is the possibility you have now. As you are listening to this humble message and simple message, you have this possibility now to hear the word of the Lord addressed to you. You know, despite the Lord is not here, He can still talk to your heart. You just need to pay attention and to acknowledge His person, to acknowledge His grace, His power, His glory. If you acknowledge Him, He can talk to you right now as you are listening, and He can talk to your heart. And if you hear His voice and believe Him that has sent the Lord, that is God Himself, if you believe in God. He says in the scripture that the fear of God is really wisdom in itself. So if we want to be wise in this world of difficulties and confusion, we can now fear words, the word of God. It's not fear in the sense of terror. It's the fear in the sense of acknowledging His authority upon us. He has created us. He has created the world that is around us, that provides everything for us as food and air to breathe and sun and all the rest of it. So, as He has created us, we desire to acknowledge His authority upon us. And so we desire to hear His message. He conveyed His message through the Lord Jesus Himself. The Lord spoke, and those who were there could really listen. Some of them wouldn't want to listen, but some who listened to Him, they got the blessing, as we have seen in the previous passage with Zacchaeus. Today, salvation has come to this house. So today, salvation can come to your heart. If you are an unbeliever, you just need to hear the voice of the Lord calling you. You know, He's seeking for you, He's calling you. Just listen to Him. Open your heart to Him. Open your ear to His voice. And open your heart to believing on Him. And the Lord makes a beautiful promise in this verse and says that He does not, the one who believes on Him that has sent the Lord has life eternal and does not come into judgment. You know, we all know at the bottom of our hearts that we haven't always done what is profitable, what is good, what is right in God's presence. We are all guilty of sins. Apart the sinful nature that marks us on account of the disobedience of the creature. So, we know that judgment is reserved. God is a righteous God. It's not the righteousness of this world that can be handled, justice in this world can be handled by men in a way or in another, and sometimes is dealt with in a very unfair way. But God is a righteous God. He can't bear one single sin. He can't bear any unrighteousness. And so He has provided the means for us in order to avoid judgment. But in order to do that, we have to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus and to believe on Him, on God Himself, that has sent the Lord as our great Savior, precious Savior, in order that we may have eternal life. And so, the Lord says, He's passed out of death into life. Now there again, if we reason with our human minds, we can say, well, there is evidence of death around us, particularly in this difficult period of diseases, but the Lord here is speaking of the condition, the blessing and the condition of life that is granted to the believer in Him. Life eternal is what goes beyond, that is what is here, present here. And it can start in our hearts now if we believe on Him and find really that the life is given to us in abundance, in order that we may really see our portion with our blessed Lord. Now this takes us to the last passage that we have read. Now this passage points out again two things. In the first passage we read, it was the Lord seeking and saving. In the second is the soul that hears and believes. And here, it is Mary that has chosen the good part, and then the part that will not be taken from her. Now, it's something very important to see what was happening here. Mary was really sitting down at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. Now, we have spoken of the messages of the Lord. Now, the Lord here was talking to them, to those around him, and Mary was sitting there to listen to the message. Now, the Lord is talking now in various ways. He can talk to our hearts through the blessed presence of the Holy Spirit that is granted to the believer in the Lord Jesus, who has repented of all his sins and has sought the Lord in humble repentance and has received salvation from him. Then he can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit he can really listen to the Lord's word addressed to him. There is the scripture, there are messages that are given by those who have had impressions from the Lord. There are many ways in which we can listen to the Lord's word. Now, Mary was very privileged in being able to listen directly to the physical voice of the Lord present there. But we can still have a privilege anyway, despite we cannot listen to the physical voice of the Lord. And the Lord sees all that. He will see if you listen to his word. He'll see if you do that. And he'll commend it. He'll put his approval on it. And he calls it a good part. Think of having a good part. Not judged good by myself or by yourself, but judged good by the Lord himself. It's the Lord who commends this part as a good one. Oh, dear friend, just receive him as a Savior and receive him as the one who can instruct you in the life. When you come to him and you are saved, you start the life of a believer. And in all that life, you need his help. You need his presence. You need his blessing. And you need to hear his instruction, his voice, his word. If you give attention to that word, to his own voice, to his word, that is your good part. And you know what is the blessedness of that part. The blessedness of that part is that it shall not be taken from you. It's something that is kept. You know, the Apostle Peter reminds us that what we have now enjoyed through the Spirit is a sort of like an inheritance that we start tasting now, but that it is kept for us in heaven. It's something that is kept outside the area of this world where everything goes bad. Everything is deprived of its value. Imagine those who are really wealthy, those who enjoy everything in life because they have plenty of money. When they come to the point of death, they have to leave everything. That part is left there. There is no way in which it is kept for them. But the part that is enjoyed with the Lord is kept for us, and it shall never be taken from us. I just commend to you, dear unbeliever, if you haven't yet put your trust in the Lord, just open your ear wide in order to hear his word. Don't undervalue the grace of God directed to you in these messages of the Lord. They are just an example. There are many other messages. I just selected a few in order to convey the importance of the voice of the Lord to your own heart. He has come to seek you. He has come to save you. He has come in order that you may hear his voice and believe on him, on God that has sent him. And he has come in order that as it, when you become a believer, you may listen to his word, his instruction, and have that good part that shall not be taken, but shall be really enjoyed in the life that the Lord gives to your heart when you believe on him. May the Lord really direct our hearts to him, in rejoicing in him if we are believers, and in leaving his word to come operative in our hearts if there are some who are not believers. May the Lord really bless this word in its simplicity, but may he bless this word to each heart that may produce the fruit for which it is sent, for his name's sake.